attention email. In the syllabus, it was given as March 19th. Apparently, that day, those people who are taking embryology would have three exams or something like that. That is the reason I didn't change it on my own. Because once I give something in the syllabus, I don't like to change it. But I change it only when people come and request. So there was a request from your classmate to Deborah Lance and to Kent and to Harold and to all the basic scientists that we have three exams that day, so can an exam be changed? So I changed to accommodate the embryology professor and Kent. I changed my final exam from the 19th, March 19th to March 18th. I've done that, and I sent you an email. And so for this test, I'm not going to have a class discussion using the discussion time. So what you can do is when the sheet comes around, you sign on it if you want it, the quiz changed to March 21st instead of the 20th, so Wednesday and Thursday. You may need more than one sheet because there's so many people in the group. You have two sheets, one on both sides. I should be able to read. When you write on both sides, I need to see the names, and so that somebody will not say, Dr. Thomas gives a syllabus and then she changes it. And so I don't want such evaluations, you know, such pretty little things to be written up. That's the reason I ask for signatures, so then I can say, here, you know, these many people wanted to change. Okay? And so let's move on. There were two hands, since they were so adamant and strong hands. Okay, what's your problem? Yes, what's your problem? Yeah? Okay, good. Do you have anything to say?
I just wanted to know why we were just taking a vote, but if you want a paper record.
Yes, I want, always I want these things in writing, so I'm not responsible when later on when you come with some comments and that I don't like. And that's why, yeah. But you know, these things happen. So I just want to be prepared, that's all. What's happening here? Okay, good. All right. Okay. All right.
What structures come into, what openings can you associate the left atrium?
read up on the chambers of the heart, so that I can finish the heart today. And still people have complaints about my talking fast. And if I'm talking fast, you have to tell me. And what I will do is, you can't have me on a barrel because I will not stay there. Okay? So what you have to do is, that means I can't talk fast, yet I have to finish all these things. So that means having me on a barrel. So I can't stay on a barrel. I would like to come off of the barrel. That is, if you want me to go still slower, I'll be happy to do that. Yet, when I don't finish the outline, then I will go slow and I will say, okay, please read up the rest. Is that agreeable to you? Yes or no? Okay? So let's go.
Hand raised.
More. Okay. More. Because I hear and I see and I read. Dr. Thomas is fast. You should have seen me 10 years ago. 15 years ago. You would say, my God, she has gone to sleep. That's what you would say. I think it's in my opinion, this is a reasonable speed, this quarter, especially because of the organ systems that we're doing. And it's very important for a physician to know the organs. I'm purposely going slow. If I'm not slow enough, let me tell you, have you all previewed for the class? If you have previewed for the class, I think I'm slow enough. If you haven't previewed, if you're just plugging yourself in the chairs here, then I'm fast. Then you don't know where I am and where you are. That is what's happening. I can see that. Okay, so the left atrium. As you look at the left atrium, the four pulmonary veins that are coming in, four openings here, the four pulmonary veins coming from where? The four pulmonary veins coming into the left atrium from where? From the right and left lungs, okay? And there's an opening going from the left atrium into the left ventricle. And which is that one? Which is that opening? Which is that opening? The mitral valve. And other than that, it has no muscular pectinati. And other than that, what does it have? It does have the left auricle. It does have the communication with the left auricle. And so the left auricle here has the same muscular pectinati that you would normally find also in the right, auricle. And so that's the valve for the left atrium. And what else do you know about the left atrium that we have gone over yesterday, left atrium? What does it form? The base of the heart. The base of the heart, it's in the posterior aspect, it's the base of the heart. A good part of the base of the heart is formed by the left atrium. And now after the atria, the right and left atria, and the auricles, the right ventricle. The right ventricle has a few things that we need to look at, we need to go over. As we come and look at the right ventricle here, we also have the right ventricle, okay, here. You can see what are the details we have in case of the right ventricle. Now you can see here is the right ventricle, and you have that in the coloring packet. Those of you who were not in class yesterday, and I do know who you are, I have a good memory, but I don't care, unfortunately for you. And so I still have some more left. I'll close my eyes if you want. But I had some left that somebody brought back if you want it here. And so we can pause it and so that people don't see when you get up. So here you are. And so you can pass it and you can take it as it comes. So here we have the right ventricle right over here. Now, look at it from the right ventricle. Here is your your left and right pulmonary arteries, pulmonary trunk is coming out. And what else do you see? The semilunar valves directing towards the right, the pulmonary trunk. And then when you come here, the term that we have not used before, that is, you see the chordae tendineae. These are the cords. Chordae tendineae are here. And these chordae tendineae, as you look at them here, these are the chordae tendineae, these tendons. You know, these are tendons here. See the tendons here? These chordae tendineae are attached to the papillary muscles. These are papillary muscles. This one, this one, this one, there are a few here. So the chordae tendineae are attached to the papillary muscles, and look at the other ends of these chordae tendineae. What are they? From where are they coming? The flaps of the valves. That means the flaps of the atrioventricular valves, the atrioventricular valves. On both sides of the on the heart, we have the flaps of the valves. As you look at them here, the chordae tendineae is very important structure here. What do they do? So here you have the flaps of the valves here, okay? And so here they are, the flaps. So on the one hand, on the one end, these chordae tendineae are attached to the papillary muscles. What do muscles do? What is the general function of the muscles? Muscles, what do? Contract. They contract. Muscles contract. And so the papillary muscles, what do you think they do? They contract also. They contract also. So if the chordae tendineae are attached to the papillary muscles, which has the capacity to contract, and they contract, and that's what they do. And the other part is continuation of the flaps of the valves here. So what's happening is this: what are these chordae tendineae doing? They are tightening. They are tightening and holding the flaps of these valves down during, you have had cardiophysiology. So during what, you know, function? Which function of the heart? During diastole or systole? Systole of the ventricles. During systole of the ventricles. During systole of the ventricles. Systole means contractions. During contractions of the ventricles, you don't want the blood to go back into the atria. You want the blood to go back into, that means not go back into, go into the pulmonary trunk from the right ventricle, from the right ventricle. So therefore, if the blood, you know, if this is, these flaps are sitting against the wall of the right atrium, and then the blood has two ways to go, here or here, isn't it? So what happens is, just like an umbrella, this, when the ventricles go into systole, these tighten, these chordae tendineae tighten, and so they just pull the flaps down, so they stay as like opened umbrellas. They stay like opened umbrellas. That's how the flaps stay in systole. And so that is the function of this chordae tendineae, tightening, you know, the flaps of the atrioventricular valves. That is their function, and that is because of their attachment. And now, there's another thing here. In this section, you will see tomorrow when you take the heart out. You see, look at this here. This is the interventricular septum. Let me put in green color. No, not green. Let me use the blue color. In blue color, let me put the interventricular septum. So here you have the interventricular septum. What is the interventricular septum made of? What is the interventricular septum made of? What is it made of? Muscle and? Yeah, you have muscle and membrane. You know, there's a membranous part and there is a muscular part. So the bottom part of the interventricular septum is all muscle. All this blue is muscle. If we look at the cardiac skeleton, you will see the upper part here is little, you know, membranous part, tendinous part, membranous part of the interventricular septum. Okay, so here you can see from the muscular part of the interventricular septum, you have in red color what is called the septomarginal band. The septomarginal band. So here as you look at it, or the moderator band. See here, that is this one here. Moderator band, or the septomarginal band. And even though you are identifying that in deception, the function of this septomarginal band or the moderator band, Becky Love can ask you a question on that. What is the function of this septomarginal or the moderator band? What do you think is the function of it? You've seen the function of the papillary muscles here. And here is the interventricular septum. From that septum, here you have the moderator band coming and going. And where is it going? What has its connection with what it is here? The papillary muscle. So what do you think they are doing? The septomarginal band or the moderator band, there is one on the right side. There's only one on the right side. So what do you think it's doing? Physiology you have had, what is it? It's conducting those impulses that are coming from the right bundle branch immediately to the papillary muscle. As you look at it here, you can see here you have the right bundle branch. The left bundle branch goes to the left side of the interventricular septum. As it is coming right over here, you can see first the impulses that are coming from the right. You have to specify right bundle branch because the left bundle branch is going to the left side of the interventricular septum. So here the impulses coming from the right bundle branch going first to the papillary muscles. That just nanoseconds before the ventricular systole, that is taking place. Why do you think that is the case? Why do you think that nerve impulses are going first to the papillary muscles nanoseconds or picoseconds before the ventricular systole? You have the impulses first going to the papillary muscles. Why do you think is the reason? So that when the pressure rises up in the ventricles, when the ventricles go into systole, already, you know, the papillary muscles can contract and keep the flaps, you know, tightened like that. So that it's in preparation. So the impulses first go to the papillary muscles via the moderator band right over here, so that they can contract nanoseconds before the ventricles go into systole. So that is the function of the moderator band. And when she asks you the question, then don't say that I don't know and it does this and that. She knows I go over it here. And so that is the moderator band and its function and the papillary muscles and the chordae tendineae. And the right ventricle, and then a couple of other things in the right ventricle. Look at this here. This space here, this area here that is leading into the right pulmonary trunk, or the only pulmonary trunk there is. I'm sorry, I didn't have to say right. The pulmonary trunk is smooth. What's the purpose of that? It's smooth. Flow of blood. So blood can easily flow into, when this is going into systole, blood can easily go over the smooth area. That smooth area is called the cornus arteriosus or the infundibulum. The basic science faculty expect you to know these terms. I'm not the only one, the rest of them also expect you to know these terms. Infundibulum. in 20 below is what is called a part of the outflow tract. This infundibulum is a part of the outflow tract. Outflow tract. What am I talking about here? Outflow tract. What do you understand when I say outflow tract, inflow tract? What is outflow tract? What is inflow tract? Yeah, the blood that's going out from the right ventricle, outflow tract. So the pulmonary valve and this corpus arteriosus, that is part of the outflow tract. And then you may ask me, what is the inflow tract? The inflow tract, you know, includes your this one, the tricuspid valve. The tricuspid valve. So when you look at the blood flow through the heart, you have an inflow tract and an outflow tract, and that is here, inflow tract and outflow tract, right here. So right here, this is not here. See, when you look at it, here you can see the inflow tract and you can see the outflow tract. As you look at this diagram, this is from an undergraduate book that I took a long while ago. It's very useful, even though it is actually an anatomy and physiology undergraduate book. And so here is the right side of the heart, superior vena cava, and so here is the right atrium. So here is that inflow tract, and from that is, you know, the tricuspid valve, and here is the outflow tract, and on the aortic wall on the right side. And then when you look on the left side of the heart, the atrium and the mitral valve, that is part of the inflow tract, and the outflow tract, you know, again, you know, is your aortic valve. And that part there. Yes, Jeff Thomas.
Can you either make copies of that or post that on the portal?
I'll make copies. And the portal, I'll ask the faculty people to do it, faculty service to do it. Okay? So you want this on the. All right, okay. Let me write it, otherwise I may forget. All right. Okay, good. Copy. Okay. All right. Okay. That is the inflow tract and the outflow tract, and so that kind of helps you to see. You know, now you bring in the physiology part also. Okay. As I'm going over this here and the anatomy, you also bring in, you know, the physiology part, and so then you would have it, you know, complete. And then there's another little thing here that's going there. That is the supraventricular crest. See here? Supraventricular crest. The supraventricular crest is in between the pulmonary valve and the tricuspid valve. So that kind of also helps, you know, to keep the blood, you know, in the ventricle as it is filling up, as it is, you know, building up the pressure there. And then, so that's all the inside. And so you've seen the openings. That means the tricuspid valve coming in and the what is called your semilunar valve or the pulmonary valve going out. Okay. And then the other thing here is the arrangement of muscle fibers. Look at the muscle fibers here. Trabeculated appearance. Trabeculae carnei. So the trabeculated appearance. What did you see? The appearance of muscle fibers in the right atrium on the anterior and the lateral wall. What appearance was that? Pectinate. Remember pectinate arrangement. So here it is trabeculated. Trabeculae. Carne. What does carne mean? Chili con carne? What does that mean? Chili con carne. Texas chili con carne is very famous, isn't it? So some of you are from Texas, you should be immediately jumping and answering chili con carne. know, muscle is the same meaning. And so here, so it is the trabeculated appearance. So it is slightly different. This is slightly different from the pectinate arrangement. Pectinate arrangement is finer, not smooth, but finer, you know, arrangement. So here is the trabeculate carne. Okay, and so that is about, let me see, I have missed out on anything on the right ventricle. No, I don't think so. The pulmonary valve sinuses. There is one little thing about the sinuses. These valve flaps, opposite to each of these valve flaps, in the wall of the pulmonary trunk, there's a little depression called the sinuses. If you read that, and so it's not through and through. There's a little depression into the wall, and it is opposite to the flaps of these valves. Why do you think that sinuses are there? This little depression in the wall of the pulmonary trunk, and that is opposite to the flaps. So when the flaps go up into the wall, they don't stick. They don't stick to the wall. They don't stick to the wall. So they can come back and fill up. They can come back and fill up. Let me see. I think that's about everything I want to. Sinuses of the pulmonary trunk. If you see some place, I don't want you to be rolling your eyes, and so I want you to have heard. Therefore, sinuses of the pulmonary trunk. And so now let me go finish at the left ventricle. Right ventricle is done. Left ventricles, okay. Left ventricle, there isn't too much of a difference, except it has papillary muscles, it has chordae tendineae and everything. It has, that is the, oh, this is the right ventricle. Okay, let me go to the left one here. Oh, right. Left ventricle is right here. Okay, good. As you look at the left ventricle, the one difference here is that the bicuspid valve, it is mitral valve, bicuspid valve, left atrial ventricle valve. These three names, okay? Bicuspid, mitral, or the left atrial ventricle valve. Two flaps only, you know, and so here it has papillary muscles and everything. But the thickness of the musculature. Thickness of the musculature of the left ventricle is three times that of the right ventricle. Three times that of the right ventricle. Okay? And everything else in the left ventricle is the same. And the left ventricle also has, in place of the conus arteriosus of the right ventricle, in place of that, the left ventricle also has what is called a smooth area here. It is not shown in this picture. The next one I should go to. Where are these little things? Oh, okay, go here. And yeah, this one shows it, okay. This one shows, you know, right here. The interventral part of the membrane, that's the membranous part here. It also has a smooth, you know, area right over here. You know, just like, you know, what we have, what is called the aortic vestibule. This part here, that is in the left ventricle, that is leading to the aortic valve and going into the aorta. So that is the vestibule, the aortic vestibule. So the aortic vestibule is a smooth area. Aortic vestibule. Just the counterpart of your infundibulum. Smooth area. Helping. Remember the outflow, you know, on the left side. Helping the outflow of blood into the aorta. And so that is done. And then left ventricle, what else is the left ventricle famous for? How would you what else have I left out in case of the left ventricle? Effects of the heart. The effects of the heart is, of course, totally a part of your left ventricle. Effects of the heart. And let me see, anything else? That's it for the chambers of the heart. Okay, if I went fast or if you didn't say something, you didn't understand, chambers of the heart, two atria and the two ventricles. Any questions? Yeah. Yeah, the aortic vestibule. The question was, I'm sorry, yes, you know, I don't repeat the questions all the time. And so the question was, what is in the left ventricle, what is the place of the corner arteriosus? So that is the aortic vestibule is in place of the corner arteriole of the right ventricle. Now the chambers of the heart is done. And okay, now the cardiac skeleton. Did you ever expect to hear anything about the skeleton in the heart? Cardiac skeleton. Okay. What is the cardiac skeleton made of? What tissue is the cardiac skeleton made of? Cancerous bone, compact bone. You're too fast for me, isn't it? No, it is dense collagen fibers. You may find all kinds of things, fibromuscular, fibrous, all skeletal, all these. It's dense collagen fibers. That is the latest information. Dense collagen fibers forming the cardiac skeleton. Now, what is the location of the cardiac skeleton? What does it do? Okay, the cardiac skeleton is right in the middle, more or less right in the middle of the heart. And so as you look at this one here, you may or may not realize that you can see it right in the middle, like, you know, this part as you go along in the middle there. And let's go here again, and you can see, if you take a cross section of that part. See, if you take a cross section like that and look at it, you can see this is part of the cardiac skeleton. This is part of the cardiac skeleton. This is all these, you know, rings around these, you know, the openings of the valves. They are all parts of the cardiac skeleton. More or less in the middle, in the center of the heart, you have these dense collagen fibers surrounding the orifices of your valves and your the atrioventricular valves and also the large vessels. And so it surrounds there. That is what you're seeing here. These annulus fibrosis that is written here in the coloring packet when you look at it here, that is part of the That is part of your cardiac skeleton, right here. Okay. See here, this is in the collagen packet, this one here. And so this here is the annulus, or the part that is surrounding the openings of the valves. This is the annulus surrounding each of them here, each of the valves. And also, it gives attachments to the flaps of the valves, So the cardiac skeleton, you know, gives the central support. It gives central support to the heart. And it does, you know, give muscle attachments. And it surrounds, you know, the openings of the valves. And also, it does one more thing. It forms an electrical insulator. It forms an electrical insulator between the atrial and the ventricular, you know, impulses. The atrial and the ventricular impulses. That means the atria can contract by themselves. The ventricles can contract by themselves. That means the two atria together and the two ventricles together. So all four chambers are not contracting, you know, at the same time. translator between what it separates, you know, the impulses for contractions, you know, the atria and the ventricles, and also gives attachments to muscle fibers and surrounds all these openings, so the openings of these valves can stay patent, so they don't, you know, go and close. And it also forms the membranous part of the interventricular septum, membranous part of the interventricular septum. So here is the a good example of the membranous part of the interventricular septum right here, as you look at it here. Here you can see this is the interventricular, you know, septum as it is going down. So this part here is the membranous part of the interventricular septum. And so these are the functions of what is called your cardiac, sorry, this is, yeah, you can see it. And so that these are the functions of the cardiac skeleton attachment of, you know, valves, you know, flaps of the valves. And the next thing that comes here in the outline is the cardiac skeleton, valves of the heart. So when we look at the valves of the heart, we have two types of valves. The atrioventricular valves, two of them, one on the left, one on the right. And then we have the semilunar valves, the aortic valve, and the pulmonary valve. And as you look at it, the atrioventricular valve, that means, you know, the one on the right, the tricuspid valve, and the other one, what is your mitral or the bicuspid valve, mitral or the bicuspid valve. Clinical significance that we, okay, before we go to the clinical significance, any questions on the valves, the atrioventricular valves? Any questions? Because I kind of included, you know, their structure as I went along. So do you have any questions on the mitral as well as the atrioventricular valves, the tricuspid valve? If you're talking about the atrioventricular valves in dissection lab, on the right or left, you have to be very specific. You have to say the right or the left or the mitral, or you have to indicate something that you know is the right side or the left side, yeah. Because of their holding it down. Yeah. Okay? those are the bars, and then the semi-lunar bars. Oh, clinical significance. Clinical significance, the mitral valve is the most frequently damaged, you know, valve, you know, in all, every time when you talk about or think about it, most frequently diseased valve of the heart is the mitral valve. And then you can have nodules. You can have nodules on the mitral valve. You can have thickening of the mitral valve flaps. And you can also have scarring. And you can have mitral stenosis. What does stenosis mean? Narrowing of a lumen is mitral stenosis. So mitral stenosis you can have, and so that is about. And then thickened valve cusps or flaps can happen for any of the valves. That means it can happen for the semilunar valves. The semilunar valves are your pulmonary and or the aortic. Again, in dissection, when you talk about semilunar valves, you have to specify which one, the pulmonary or the aortic. Pulmonary or the aortic. So if you simply say semilunar, you know, it's not specific enough. So you have to say which one. And semilunar or the pulmonary and the aortic. The difference in the aortic and the pulmonary semilunar valves is that which cusps are thicker. The aortic, you know, is thicker. The aortic is thicker. And what else? That's about. There can be a whole lot of other things, sclerotic changes, and which may prevent complete, you know, closure of these cusps. That can happen, you know. So there are, you know, some, you know, physiological, I mean, anatomical changes, you know, that take place. And that I have little structures here that I don't want you to get worried about this, so that's why I'm going to go over this here, so that you know the reason why this is included and the reason why they are here. And so let's look at the specific structure of these valves. When you look at the atrioventricular valves right up here, you can see here. You can see the papillary muscles, and you can see very clearly, you know, the chordae tendineae, and you know how, you know, it's you know, mechanism I have, you know, gone over. And the other one, the semilunar ones here, and again you will see all these little things here. I will not worry about the little things here. And when you see in the diagram, you need to know these things. These things are here so that it helps the closure. It helps the tight closure of the flaps. After the ventricular systole, after the, you know, blood has gone into the atrium, and I mean into the aorta and into the pulmonary trunk, what happens? Well, how do these cusps, you know, prevent the blood from coming back into the ventricles? How does that happen? They open up like pockets. When the blood is going in to the pulmonary trunk and aorta from the two ventricles, these flaps are staying against the walls. They are going into the pulmonary trunk and into the aorta and staying against the walls. And then when the ventricles relax and the blood, you know, is going to try to come back because of the elastic, you know, fibers there, if these walls are, you know, just going to recoil. When the elasticity recoils, blood is going to try to come back. When it comes back, these open up, and so do the aortic valves. They fully open up and they are holding, you know, that blood there. That is what is supposed to happen normally. But if there is, you know, what you call sclerotic changes or some nodules extra, you know, nodular changes, there will be leakage of blood And you may, as a physician, when you listen to that sound, what would you call that? Murmur. That is a murmur. So that is, you know, what happens. And so when you see all these little things, these are at the flaps, at the end of these flaps, to help them close. You know, the line of closure is so nice and tight. That is why you have all these little details there. And you can see also for these openings are, because this is the aortic valve that you see here, because it's the ascending aorta. So you see that little 25 there and this one there, that is for what? Coronary arteries. The coronary arteries are taking origin from there. And so that is the little detailed information about the valves, I mean, and the flaps of these valves. Let me see. After the valves, okay, coronary arteries. Now, coronary arteries, there are two, normally, there are two coronary arteries. Yes. Okay, let's go. Take a break. And then we will do the coronary arteries and we can finish the heart today. Okay, now with me. Thank you. usually two coronary arteries, left and right coronary arteries. For each one of them, I'm going to take you through the drawing here and source, course, distribution. Of all these, the most important thing about this is the distribution. Is I consider that a physician ought to know the distribution of the coronary arteries. And so that is why I'm taking you through the drawing here. The coronary arteries, both of them, right and left, they take origin from aortic sinuses. Aortic sinuses. That means the right and the left aortic sinuses from the ascending aorta. Because remember, the aorta, as it comes out from the left ventricle, it is the ascending aorta. And then, of course, it becomes, it forms the arch. So before that arch begins the ascending aorta, from the ascending aorta, from the right and left aortic sinuses. Remember, there's no other sinus, aortic sinus. Okay? So you have, say, the left coronary artery taking origin as you give the aortic sinus. And here's the left coronary artery taking origin. And as it is coming, it is right behind the pulmonary trunk. Right in, here is the pulmonary trunk, and here is the origin. And so here you can see the pulmonary trunk is, you know, sitting like that. And so it is behind here. And then, of course, the pericardial fat is also there. So it is kind of buried in here. You have to kind of dig for it, okay? And so that is the origin, and the course is right behind, you know, the pulmonary trunk, and then it comes out, it divides in two, the two main branches it gives. One is the circumflex. Here's the left circumflex artery, right here. And then it gives the anterior interventricular or the anterior descending. The anterior interventricular or the anterior descending. Anterior interventricular or the anterior descending, either is good. And again, usually you may find them buried in, you know, the interventricular groove right over here. And you can see the distribution, the branching that is going from there. So when you look at, you know, the anterior interventricular or the anterior descending artery, what are the structures that are supplied by the anterior descending, you know, artery, which is a branch of the left coronary. The right and the left ventricles, the anterior walls of the right and the left ventricles, the apex of the heart, and also the anterior two-thirds of the interventricular septum. The anterior two-thirds of the interventricular septum. So that is your anterior descending, you know, artery. And then you have the circumflex. Here is the circumflex. Look at the circumflex. It also goes posteriorly. So as you look at the circumflex here, from its distribution here, it goes posteriorly also. As it is coming, you know, posteriorly there, it is giving the left ventricle and the left atrium. It is supplying the left ventricle and the left atrium. And then it travels in the posterior aspect here, and most of the times it anastomoses with a branch of the right coronary here on the posterior aspect. And then it also gives a left marginal here. Here is the left marginal. This one is the left marginal. That left marginal is supplying the left ventricle. Okay? So the apex here is by the left. That means the anterior descending. And so clinical people will say, you know, the left coronary, and I will accept that, but anterior descending, you know, gives those. And so that is the left coronary artery. And then, I didn't finish it up yet. So the anterior descending curves around the traverse right in the posterior interventricular groove and anastomosis with the posterior interventricular branch that is coming from the right coronary. So here, let's take the right coronary here. And for the right coronary, I'm going to use a little different color so you can differentiate it here. Right coronary, so here, let's stay here. And comes out, and in between, you know, the right, you know, atrium and what is called right ventricle here. So it is traveling right in the atrioventricular, right atrioventricular sulcus right here. Before it does all that, it gives a branch. That branch here is the SA nodal branch, SA nodal branch, SA nodal branch, SA nodal branch, okay? And then it travels right here. Again, most of the times these arteries are buried in the epicardial fat or the pericardial. Pericardial fat, a little bit of fat, you know, on the heart there for a lot of people. And so when it comes right down here, it gives a marginal branch here, marginal. This is the marginal artery. That marginal artery is supplying your right ventricle, and then the right coronary continues, curves around here, continues, goes into the interventricular groove, and so it is called the posterior interventricular or the posterior descending, posterior interventricular or the posterior descending artery, posterior interventricular or the posterior descending artery. Now, as you look at this artery here, you can see the posterior interventricular or the posterior descending gives a branch here. In about 80% of the people, this branch, that is the AV nodal branch, AV nodal branch, AV nodal branch, AV node. When we come to look at the conducting system of the heart, you will know the SA node, AV node, and also you will get physiology. And so in 80% of the people, the AV nodal branch is coming from the posterior interventricular artery, the posterior interventricular artery. In 60% of the people, the SA nodal branch is coming from the right coronary artery. In the remaining 40%, the SA nodal branch comes from your, this one, the circumflex, comes from the circumflex. Circumflex comes to the posterior aspect. It comes from the circumflex. 40% of the people, it comes from the circumflex. So that is how the statistical, what do you call, configuration goes. Okay, so this one, 40%. Okay, so 60%. So because it's 80%, and 40, 60%, so most of the times people will say the AV nodal and the SA nodal branches are coming from the right coronary, right coronary, that is when they say it. And so that is, the anastomosis is also there. As you look at the anastomosis, the posterior interventricular comes here.
Dr. Tom?
Yes?
Did you say 80, 60, 40?
80%, in 80% of the people, the AV nodal branch comes from the posterior interventricular artery. In 60% of the people, SA nodal branch comes from the right coronary artery. And 40% of the people, the SA nodal branch comes from the left coronary artery or the left circumflex.
Thank you.
Pardon me? What did you say? Okay, the question was, why don't you talk about 100% for both of them? So Megan answered and said that she's talking about two different arteries. So the question and the answers were done by students themselves, and so I didn't have to stick. Now, and so that is respond. The dominance of the coronary arterial system is based on what? You have to figure that out yourselves. And the textbook has it, blue boxes has it, and blue box has it. And so you figure out what is the coronary artery dominance and what is the basis of the coronary artery dominance. So that I leave it up to class to find out. And then let's move on to the venous drainage of the heart. Now, venous drainage of the heart here. All right, venous drainage. Coronary sinus, great cardiac vein, middle cardiac vein, small cardiac vein, Trabecian veins, and Trabecian veins. Okay, so let's go here and bring the venous system here. As you look at the venous system here, the heart is one place where the veins don't have the same name as that of the arteries. Remember, deep arteries, when we talked about femoral artery, femoral vein, popliteal artery, popliteal vein, that's not taking place here. So here, what is happening is, here they have different names. See, this is the great cardiac vein. I'm going to color that great cardiac vein here. Here is the, in blue color, here is the, this is anterior. You can see the great cardiac vein is traveling with what artery? The great cardiac vein is traveling with what artery? The anterior interventricular. The anterior interventricular or the anterior descending. And then here is the small cardiac vein. Here is the small cardiac vein. Number 13 here, small cardiac vein. What is that traveling with?
The marginal artery.
Marginal. The marginal artery. So that is traveling with the marginal artery. And then you have anterior cardiac veins here. These anterior cardiac veins are going directly into the right atrium. These are anterior cardiac veins going directly into the right atrium. And then, so here you have, let's go right here. On this side here, you can see the veins themselves. We have the veins here, coronary arteries and cardiac veins, all right. So here, you can see the cardiac veins on, okay, this is going on the small cardiac vein you've seen is continuing, but on the posterior aspect, the posterior vein of the left ventricle, and so here you can see the posterior vein, and this one here is the middle cardiac vein. Middle cardiac vein, where do you think it, which artery is it traveling with? The middle cardiac vein. So the posterior aspect, middle cardiac vein is traveling with the posterior interventricular. It's traveling with the posterior interventricular artery, and on the left ventricle, you have a couple of veins. You can see one here and the other one. And all these, most of the venous blood of the heart is now first goes into what is called your coronary sinus. So most of this, we can see they are all leading into. So most of the, or two-thirds of the venous blood of the heart is going into the coronary sinus, which opens into which chamber of the heart? The right atrium, the left right atrium, okay? And so that is the venous blood. In addition to all these great cardiac veins, small cardiac vein, and all those things, there's something called Trabecian veins. Trabecian veins. Trabecian veins. Trabecian veins here. Vena cordis minimae explains to me, tells me from the name which vein is running with or traveling with which arteries. When you look at these diagrams, you can easily see that. Now, then when we look at the musculature of the heart, and the musculature of the heart is arranged as you look at it here, is there any continuity between the atrial muscles and the ventricular muscles? Is it just one muscle bundle that is going, you know, from the atria and the ventricle? So how is it? What can you tell me about the musculature of the heart? Is there muscle continuity between the atria and ventricular? None whatsoever? Little bit. Yes. I take a little bit. Little bit is that, little bit is that here. AV bundle of His. The AV bundle of His. So there's no, the musculature is not continuous. There's no continuity between the atrial musculature and the ventricular musculature. The only continuity is the AV bundle of His. AV bundle of His. Why is she saying that the AV bundle of His is muscle? What is the AV bundle of His? What type of muscle is this? AV bundle of His is the intrinsic conducting system of the heart. It's part of the intrinsic conducting system of the heart. The AV bundle of His is part of the intrinsic conducting system of the heart. And so if it is the intrinsic conducting system of the heart, and you said, she said, it is muscle, and I accepted it. And so what is happening here? Is it muscle or is it nervous tissue or what is it? Modified, exactly. It's modified cardiac muscle. So the intrinsic conducting system is modified cardiac muscle fibers. That is why she said that there's a little bit of connection. And that little bit of connection is here. You can see that little bit of connection here. And you can see here. Here is the AV bundle of His. Here you can see atrioventricular AV bundle of His. Here is the AV bundle of His that is coming from, you know, the what you call the AV node that is located in the left, the right atrium. From the right atrium, here you have, so it is passing right through the cardiac skeleton into the ventricle. That means in the interventricular septum. It's in the interventricular septum. That's the only connection. So now we have superficial muscle fibers and deep muscle fibers, you know, for the atrium. For the two atria, we have superficial and deep muscle fibers. Now the superficial muscle fibers of the atria have communication. They connect. Why do you think they connect? Superficial muscle fibers of the two atria are continuous. What is the reason? Yeah, for the conducting system, for the impulses. As the impulses, having physiology helps, isn't it? And so the two atria, that means, you know, when the impulses start here, you know, in the right atrium, right here, when it starts here, it can immediately go. And the impulse is generated here, so it can, there's internodal pathways, we will go there. So it can go, not only spread all over, you know, the right atrium, but it can also go to the left atrium simultaneously, because the two atria can then contract. But the deep muscle fibers, the deep bundle of muscle fibers that belong to the two atria are separate. They are separate. You don't have to be together. Okay. And then we come to the musculature of the ventricles. As you look at the ventricles here, the ventricular musculature is also superficial and deep. Superficial and deep. There's a good picture of the musculature of the heart in, let me see. Fifth edition has a good picture, the musculature of the heart. I had the page numbers written someplace here. Look, it's in the readings also, in the reading, it is in the readings pages, but there's a good picture. But I like to just spend half a minute on that one. The ventricles, you have superficial muscle fibers arranged in spiral form. going to give you the twisting effect, okay? And the constrictors, that means the deep fibers, when they contract, they're going to reduce the volume. They reduce the volume of the ventricles. That means in ventricular systole, these two groups, you know, functioning together, what's happening is you have the squeezing effect, you know, in ventricular systole. So the musculature can squeeze and get the blood out. So that is, you know, the arrangement of muscle fibers in the atria and the ventricles. Both of them have superficial muscle fibers and deep muscle fibers. Superficial muscle fibers are continuous to both atria, and the deep muscle fibers of the atria are, you know, limited to each one. And then when you come to the ventricles, you have spiral arrangement of muscle fibers, so you get the twisting effect and the constrictors reducing the volume. Now, since you have had, all of you have had physiology, do you need me to go over the blood flow through the heart?
No.
Yes or no?
No.
Okay. So, blood flow through the heart, you can, if you're not sure, you can look up on your own. And you told me not to, so I'm not, you know, taking you through there. And the next is the conducting system of the heart. Okay, so as you look at the conducting system of the heart, there are two components to it. That means when you look at the intrinsic conducting system, that means the impulse conducting system, the intrinsic impulse conducting system, and the extrinsic conducting system. That's, you know, what we have. In the intrinsic, what are the components of the intrinsic impulse conducting system of the heart? What are the components of the intrinsic impulse conducting system of the heart? SA node, AV node, internodal pathways, anything else? AV bundle of His, not this bundle, atrioventricular, you have AV bundle of His, and what else? The two limbs, this one, and this one, and anything else? Anything else? Subendocardial, what? Purkinje, not Purkinje, I'm sorry, he was Czechoslovakian. So the physiologist was Czechoslovakian, his name is Purkinje. So don't abort it. And so Purkinje fibers, subendocardial Purkinje fibers. So you cannot miss out on the subendocardial Purkinje fibers and or the others here. So here, when you look at it here, this diagram in the color of the packet. Okay, so here, SA node. And since you have the physiology, you know what the SA node does, but you may not know the location of it very clearly. Where is it located? What is the relationship of the SA node to the epicardium? Epicardium. What's the relationship of the SA node to the epicardium? It is deep to it. It's deep to it. And what is its relationship to the crista terminalis at the upper end? So it's located at the upper end of the crista terminalis. What is its relationship to the opening of the superior vena cava? Near the opening of the superior vena cava here. Near the opening, here is the superior vena cava. Okay? So near the opening of the superior vena cava, at the upper end of the crista terminalis, deep to the epicardium, that is the SA node, is located. And what else would you call the SA node? The pacemaker of the heart. So from the SA node, when it begins, impulses, when it generates impulses, how do these impulses go from the SA node to the AV node, and from, you know, one of these, what are these things called, these lines here? Internodal pathways. both atria, then you have the impulses going to the AV node. Where is the AV node located? What is the, how would you say the location of the AV node? What is the location of the AV node? In what chamber of the heart? Right atrium, right atrium. So here is the right atrium, but what is the exact location of it? How would you say it? In the interatrial septum, in the interatrial septum, next to the opening of the coronary sinus, next to the opening of the coronary sinus. So here is the coronary sinus opening. So in the interatrial septum, this is the right atrium. I say that you can see the fossa wallis here. And so here you have that. And do you think you can see the AV node in the human heart wall when you take it out? I always make students believe when I was in the lab. I make them believe they're saying it. Because I just will take the heart and do all this and say, see, here it is. You see that? You don't see it? Then when I say here it is, when you see it, they will all see it. It is, you can't really see it because, you know, it's only 7 millimeters or so. But you can imagine. You can. I always imagine things. And so, and then I get you to imagine with me. That's what I do. And so, you can really kind of see. This is very small. It's 7 millimeters and it's very hard to see. But I always imagine and say I see it. And so, that is the AV node location and then how the AV node gets the impulses from, you know, where. And internodal pathways, and you can have blockage, you know, here, and all kinds of fibrillations and stuff, which I don't go over. And then, from the AV node, of course, you have, you know, the AV bundle of His coming into the interventricular, you know, septum, and then, of course, divides into a right bundle branch and a left bundle branch, and will go on both sides of the interventricular septum. And as we talked about half an hour ago or something like that, that, you know, the on the right side, the impulses that are coming from the right bundle branch are conducted first to the papillary muscles via what anatomical structure? What anatomical structure is here that is conducting the impulses? The moderator band or the septum and marginal band. And so that goes, of course, you know, to the papillary muscles. And then you can see it is also continuing on. So here you have the subendocardial Purkinje fibers right over here for the rest of the muscle fibers here. And the same thing is happening on the left side, the papillary muscle is sitting so very close to the septum. So you don't really need to have that septum marginal band there on the left side. So it's immediately going there. And as you can see, these are going there and they're going like that. And so that is the impulse conducting system, which is the intrinsic component of the impulse conducting system of the heart. That's the intrinsic part. Okay? And what is it made of? The intrinsic impulse conducting system of the heart is made of what type of tissue? What nervous tissue? Modified cardiac muscle. Modified cardiac muscle. Okay? And so now we have the extrinsic part. The extrinsic conducting system of the heart. That, what can speed up? How? So the impulses are generated by the SA node. What can regulate? Can anything regulate that the impulse generation by the SA node? Fascinating. Physiology has helped me a lot. Good. And so parasympathetic can do that. All right. Good. Let's move on to the autonomic. You have to say autonomic, not just parasympathetic. Autonomic. Okay, so when we look at the autonomics to the heart, how does it get there? What autonomics do we have there? How do they get there? Any takers? Because we can walk right through here and stop for any questions right here. Okay, we have both. So you get both. It's the sympathetics and the parasympathetics. So here, as you look at these diagrams, you have those diagrams here. Okay. Now, here we have the parasympathetics coming to the heart. Here, on the left side here, is the parasympathetics. Parasympathetic I'm going to keep in green. So here, P, parasympathetic. And so, what nerve is this one here? This one here. What is this one? The vagus nerve. So the right and left vagus nerves are bringing in parasympathetic impulses. What type of parasympathetic impulses? Postganglionic, preganglionic, or postsynaptic, presynaptic? Presynaptic. Parasympathetic impulses are coming to where? To where? What is this here? What is the structure here? It's coming to the trachea, the bifurcation of the trachea, to form the cardiac plexus. So these nerves that you see here, these three here, these four here, these five here, these three, four, and five, these are what we call the superior cervical cardiac branch, the inferior cervical cardiac branch, the thoracic, cardiac branch. And so all these are cardiac nerves, parasympathetic cardiac nerves, parasympathetic impulses from the right and left vagus nerves are coming to the cardiac plexus at the bifurcation of the trachea via these cardiac nerves. The superior cervical, this is the superior cervical cardiac nerve, the inferior cervical cardiac nerve, and the thoracic cervical cardiac nerves. So what I like you to know is just know the cardiac nerves. Parasympathetic impulses, preganglionic or presynaptic, via the cardiac nerves. From the right and left vagus nerves. So the right and left vagus nerves here, you can see the right and left vagus nerves here in mirror. So here you can see the cardiac nerves, thoracic branch of the cardiac nerve, the cervical, all those are coming to, here's the trachea, that's the bifurcation of the trachea. So it's coming right over here. And so it's preganglionic or presynaptic. So where do they become? Postsynaptic, because it has to be postsynaptic before it goes to. And where do they become postsynaptic, and where do they go when they go to the heart? And what do they do when they go to the heart? Physiology, you will know, what they do. What is the function of the parasympathetic to the heart? Cardiac what? What happens to the heart if you stimulate the parasympathetic to the heart? It will lower the heart rate, and what happens to the blood vessels? Constriction of the blood vessels. So that is cardiac inhibition. That means lowering the heart rate, lowering the force of the heart rate, and the constriction of the blood vessels. So where do they become postsynaptic? In the plexus, in the cardiac plexus, you have small neurons here. Number of small neurons located in the plexus here. Here. Okay? And so these cardiac nerves come and they synapse here. And then postsynaptics or postganglionics. These little neurons here are what you can call, ganglia. So from there, purple ones here. See? Postsynaptic, purple ones will go to where? Where will these purple ones go to? What part of the heart? SA node and AV node and blood vessels. If the blood vessels are contracted, blood vessels. SA node, AV node and the blood vessels. So you can see the branches coming here. SA node, AV node and blood vessels. So you can see they are going from here. And so that is the, for the time being, that is the parasympathetic Peter Celico, which can be also what is called your stellate or whatever. That I will go over in a sometime. So the sympathetics, from where is the sympathetics coming? And so where is the sympathetics coming? From where is it coming? Sympathetics. Pregnant drawings from the upper 5 or 6. From the upper 5 or 6 thoracic segments of the spinal cord. From the upper sympathetics coming from the upper 5 or 6 thoracic segments of the spinal cord. Okay. And these from the upper thoracic spinal cord, they come to these sympathetic ganglia. They come to the sympathetic ganglia. Superior cervical sympathetic ganglia, middle cervical, and the inferior cervical sympathetic ganglia. Here is the superior cervical sympathetic ganglia, middle cervical, and the cervical thoracic or the inferior, you know, cervical sympathetic ganglia. These are the sympathetic chain ganglia. So from the spinal cord, they come to as preganglionics. From the spinal cord, upper 5 or 6 segments of the thoracic spinal cord, preganglionic sympathetic fibers come to the superior cervical, middle cervical, and the inferior cervical sympathetic ganglia. And from these ganglia, they synapse in the ganglia, they become postganglionic in the ganglia there. They become postganglionic here. So these nerves that are coming here, cervical sympathetic cardiac nerves that you see here, this one, cervical sympathetic cardiac nerve, this one, and thoracic sympathetic cardiac nerve, cervical sympathetic cardiac nerves, from both sides, they come to the same cardiac plexus, So in the cardiac plexus, you have both parasympathetic preganglionics that have come and sympathetic postganglionics in the cardiac plexus. And so sympathetics now are postganglionics. They are well equipped. They don't need anything. They are fully dressed. They don't need to put any stockings or anything. They have shoes or everything on. They are ready to go. That is postganglionics. They don't need to check anything. So, they don't do anything in the cardiac plexus because they're fully dressed. They're saying, this, come on. See, I'm fully dressed. Open the door. And so, that's what they are doing. And so, they're fully dressed. That means postganglionic. And while the parasympathetic is fumbling, where's my socks? Where's my this, that? Parasympathetic is fumbling. When they come to the cardiac plexus, they look for their little ganglia there in the cardiac plexus. They finally find it. And then they synapse there. And then both now are postganglionics going from the cardiac plexus to the SA node, AV node, and the coronary arteries. And when they do that, the sympathetics, if you stimulate the sympathetics, what is one word in effect of the sympathetics to the heart? Cardiac acceleration, then you will see the heart rate going up, the force of the rate going up, and what happens to the coronary arteries?
Vasodilation,
exactly, very good. Dilation of the coronary arteries. So that is the, for the time being, that is the, as I qualified my statement twice now, for the time being, that is the sympathetics for the heart. So what we will do is, next time when I have to take you through the sympathetics, I will take you through the sympathetics, the spinal cord and the deal and the pain. I will take you through all those also. Now there's one more, I'll come to your question in a minute. There's there are some two questions in a minute. Therefore, blood supply of the SA node, AB node are included when we talked about those. Okay. Lymphatics, just two lines only. Please look up the lymphatics. Okay, there's only two lines for the lymphatics. Please look up the lymphatics and I'll get the questions. Megan, you have a question? Oh, yes. I will email you after I have the sign sheet. I will go over the sign sheet and I have all of them here and I will see, you know. Only these two sheets you gave me? That's it? I didn't see. Let me see how many sheets you gave. Oh, there's more. So I have all these sheets here. I'm going to look at these sheets. The majority